जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णु। Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Gacharya Stotra Stoshi Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, which is entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana. Today we start with text 60. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamajam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiv Shakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namah Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtaine Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shivarshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabhaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Nama Madhurya Jvala Premadhyaya Shirupanuga Bhaktida Shigora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Shimute Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adigora Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhakta Mahapurana Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So please repeat after me. Tasmat Sarvatmana Tata Tasmat Sarvatmana Tata Nigrihana Manodhya Nigrihana Manodhya Maya Veshitaya Yukta maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata Nigvahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavana yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata Nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manodhiya maya veshitaya yukta etavan yoga sangraha. Anybody else? No? Tasmat. Therefore, sarva atmana, in all respects, tata, my dear Uddhava, nigrahana, bring under control, manaha, the mind, dhiya, with intelligence, may in me, aveshitaya, which is absorbed, yuktaha, linked up, etavan, thus, yoga sangraha, the essence of spiritual practice. Translation, please repeat after me. My dear Uddhava, fixing your intelligence on me, you should thus completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga. Text 61. Ya etan bhikshuna gita brahma nishtham samahitaha dharayan Shravayan, Shinvan, Dvandve, Neva, Pibhuyate. Translation. Anyone who listens to or recites to others this song of the sannyasi, which presents scientific knowledge of the Absolute, and who thus meditates upon it, with full attention, will never again be overwhelmed by the dualities of material happiness and distress. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Vaishnava Sannyasi took shelter of the devotional service of the Lord and thus could overcome the illusory potency of His worshipable object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He Himself meditated upon and heard this song and also taught it to others. Having received the Lord's mercy, He enlightened other conditioned souls with transcendental intelligence so that they could also follow in the footsteps of the devotees of the Lord. Religion actually means to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord in loving service. Those who are trying to enjoy the material world or merely renounce it to avoid personal inconvenience cannot actually understand love of Godhead, in which the only objective is the satisfaction of the Lord. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Mitamina Tasmei Shri Guru Venma Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishthaya Mutale Shrimate Tamal Krishna Goswami. So the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is often described as the preacher's Bible in America, because America is a Christian country. So a lot of the language that we use in America is Christian vernacular. So in Christian vernacular, the preacher is the pure devotee. This is the person who has studied the Bible, studied Christian scripture, and then applied it in his or her own life, and then is able to teach somebody else so that they can do the same. So that person is called a preacher. And the Bible is a reference to scripture, meaning that it is the complete scripture, is described as the complete scripture. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the complete scripture. It describes everything that is that one needs to know. In fact, even if one knows a little bit of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one can become completely relieved of the misery of this world, the miserable conditions of this world, and even more importantly, become totally blissful. Go back to one's original nature, which is the nature of Satchit Ananda, meaning a complete life of knowledge and happiness. This is Srila Prabhupada's description of Satchit Ananda, complete life of knowledge and happiness, like that. So, in all of the cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto is actually the history. It actually recounts the history. History, as we know in the English language, is his story. It's his story, and so it's called history. Basically, what it is originally history was meant to recount the story of the biggest his. When you have his with a capital H, that refers to the Supreme Lord. So it's the story of the Supreme Lord. The living entity will do things that sometimes does not take into account the Lord, but will nonetheless, somehow the Lord will come into the picture, because it's just natural. It's natural. For a calf to behave anything other than like the cow is going to be a little unnatural. When it behaves a little like the cow, it's natural, because it came from the cow. We come from Krishna. Krishna says that very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartate, that it is from me that everything emanates. Anyone and everyone emanates from me alone. All living entities, all non-living entities, all places, all time, anything and everything, and anyone and everyone, all living and non-living, moving and non-moving, animate and inanimate, actually emanate from Krishna himself. He is the origin. So in the 11th canto, by recounting the history, as in this case, the story of the Avanti Brahmana, Krishna is showing us by example, because we need example. In whatever we do, we need example. If you don't have example, then it becomes becomes hard to follow. The appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is an example. Gauranga Mahaprabhu Krishna wanted to show us how to practice bhakti. He wanted to show by example how to do it. When he came as Krishna, he could not show by example, because he, in his appearance as Krishna, he came to reclaim us, take us back home, back to Godhead, by encouraging us and saying, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Look what I can do. I can do anything and everything. And anything and everything I do is full of complete bliss. It's completely blissful. Like that. So, please actually offer your obeisances unto me. As we know, the Paribhasya Sutra, Paribhasya means the most important text in the Bhagavad Gita, because it actually is the seed text. It's like not so much the seed text, there are four seed texts, but it is the text that encapsulates the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. And that verse is chapter 9, text 34. As we know, chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita is the chapter that is the most confidential knowledge, means the most hidden knowledge. That part, if we understood, the secret of all secrets is chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita. And the concluding verse, the last verse of that chapter says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam eveshasi yuktvevam atmana mat parayanaha. The translation is, engage your mind always in thinking of me, Krishna is speaking, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So this was Krishna's purpose in coming. So when Krishna actually enacted his pastimes, some of those pastimes were hard to understand. That's okay. Some of those pastimes were hard to understand. Things like stealing butter. Why would Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have to steal anything? How is it considered to be good behavior to steal something? How is it good behavior to dance with other people's wives in the middle of the night in a forest? Good behavior. Things like that. So Krishna did many things that people couldn't understand. He made the sun go down and come up again in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He did things that, people felt like, how can this be fair? How can this be moral? How can this be right? At the same time, he did many, many things that people absolutely love. He did great things like rescuing so many persons from terrible situations, as in the case of him killing demons who attacked the residents of Vrindavan. And amazing, amazing things he did. For example, in the Leela that we see on the left of the Rasa Leela, where Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill. I mean, he created 7 planetary systems underneath the hill for devotees to enjoy while this pastime was going on. It's just amazing. It's just amazing, amazing things he did. Obviously, this is not for us to do. These are not things that we can do. We can't dance on a multi-hooded snake that is so poisonous and powerful that just one whip from its tail will send us into the highest planetary systems, in terms of how far it will throw us. We'll actually be transported to higher planetary systems. That's how powerful this snake was, Kaliya. And, very venomous snake, very powerful snake. So venomous, his mere existence in the Yamuna made the whole Yamuna poison water. I mean, this is how powerful this snake was, And such a big snake and very powerful. And Krishna danced on its hoods and subdued it. I mean, we can't do things like that. That's not the example of how to practice devotion. So then Krishna comes himself to show how devotion can be done, and he comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So therefore, in the same way, the 11th canto sets the example for us how to do that, how to practice. Now, earlier on, Prabhupada had made many statements, and the Bhakta made many statements, and sometimes it didn't quite occur to us exactly what he was saying. For example, in one part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I was reading this morning in Canto 10, Srila Prabhupada says that actually the devotee should be simple-hearted. The devotee should understand that I am insignificant. And as an insignificant person, the best thing for me to do is just to simply love Krishna. Just to say to Krishna simply, I love you. And be simple-hearted. And do whatever little one can do to show love to Krishna. Prabhupada says, if we do that, we will surely go back home, back to Godhead. If we just do that much. Our nature is very different though. Our nature has been affected by all of our material lives in the past. And so now we become complicated. Everything is very complicated about us. Things have to be right. You know, people have to be nice to us. So many things have to happen in such a way that I am happy, my senses are gratified, like that. These are things that are happening today. So here, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna really, really, really makes it like crystal clear, what is it that we need to do? In the case of the Avanti Brahmana, we can see that he was very wealthy person, and then he lost everything. He lost his wealth. And when he lost his wealth, he suddenly realized two things. One is, I could have used that wealth properly in one of two ways. I could have really enjoyed myself with that wealth. Or two, I could have used it in the service of the Supreme Lord and others. These two ways would have been nice. If I totally enjoyed myself, well, at least I'm having a good time. Now I have the wealth. But I didn't do that. I kept accumulating and accumulating and accumulating wealth, thinking to myself, I should have more wealth and more wealth and more wealth, and I'll become more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. And then suddenly now the wealth is gone, so I didn't use it for myself. So all the hard work I did to earn the wealth was shamayivahi kevalam. It was like useless labor, all useless labor. See, he was regretting that. that was not very nice. That was not very smart. So in analyzing things, he realized, the realization came from his heart, because this is our process. Our process is that Krishna will tell us what we need to do, but he'll only do it at the right time. He's not going to do it prematurely, because he knows that he'll disturb us if he does this prematurely. At the right time, if he tells us, we will not be disturbed. We'll feel like we are fine. As Krishna says in Canto 10, Chapter 88, Text 8, Yasyaham anugranami harishyadad dhanam shnai, that when I become particularly inclined towards my devotee, I take away all that the devotee has. And the devotee becomes completely morose, becomes very, very dejected in his or her life, thinking that, wow, nobody loves me anymore, nobody cares about me anymore, I have nothing. But then what happens at that time is that the devotee then turns to Krishna and says, well, Krishna, I have you. Please, you need to help me here. I really need your help. So then the person turns to Krishna. Now this is when Krishna does that. When our karma does that, that doesn't happen like that. If our karma takes away something from us because we did something bad in the past and therefore we're going to suffer some consequence, then you don't always turn to Krishna. You might actually become very angry. One might become very angry. Excuse me. One might speak ill of the Lord and the devotees and others. Excuse me. Actually blame others for the problem that we're having. But in the case where Krishna takes everything away, the devotee does not blame anybody else. The devotee feels bad about it, but the devotee turns to Krishna and says, okay, let me actually now worship you, let me serve you, and let me do the right thing, and now become properly situated in my life. And that's what happened in the case of the Avanti Brahmin. It was Krishna who did it, because the Brahmin turned towards Krishna. He realized, because it's described, of course, in the in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the reason he turned back towards Krishna was because he was born in a Brahmin family and he was a Brahmin. He was trained as a Brahmana. So because he was trained as a Brahmana, he knew transcendental knowledge. Brahmins do know transcendental knowledge. They may not have complete transcendental knowledge, but they do have transcendental knowledge. And because he had transcendental knowledge, the power of that transcendental knowledge allowed him to remember that I am actually Krishna's devotee. What am I doing? I should actually turn towards Krishna. But transcendental knowledge is none other than Krishna himself. Krishna is described as the supreme absolute truth. He is transcendental knowledge. So it was Krishna who took away the wealth. And then Krishna made him understand that really the right thing for you to do was to continue on the path that you were on earlier. Instead of trying to become rich and famous and a great person of material renown in this world, it would have been better if you had just continued being a simple-hearted person and continued being in devotion. He realized that. And therefore he makes this song, he sings this song. And in this song, he totally analyzes everything and says, why do we blame anybody else for our problems? Why do we blame? And he analyzes. If you think it is time, then the soul is independent of time. Therefore, if time is creating the problem, the soul should not become affected because the soul is independent. The soul is actually superior. It's in a superior condition. It should not become affected by that. It doesn't have to accept time. It can say, I'm sorry, I don't have to accept it. Just like, say for example, right now, if some problem is going on in some corner of the world and we don't even know about it, how is it going to affect us? Immediately, it's not going to affect us. It may affect us through other people and domino effect and then come to us sooner or later. That's a different story. But the point is that he actually, in his song, describes how the only reason we are suffering in this world is because these are the games of the mind. The mind conjures a situation because it wants to enjoy, and then it also suffers, and its enjoyment and suffering is of the mind. And then the description is given, but we are not the mind. I am not the mind. The mind is different from me. Just like, say for example, I may have a car. I am not the car. You know, like that. Prahladananda Maharaj makes a nice joke about it. He calls it ahamkar, you know, because ahamkar means one having false ego, right? So he says, I am the car. Ahamkar. You know? So that's actually what our mind does. It actually creates this false notion of what reality is. But the reality is that actually the soul is not affected by these things. The soul is Satchit Ananda. The soul is a person that lives a complete life of knowledge and happiness. But right now, what we've done is we've misidentified ourselves with the mind. And as a result of misidentification, we're thinking that I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble, like that. You see? It's just like, say, for example, and it's just hard for me to say because it's not a good example in some ways, but it's actually a very clear example. It really brings it home for those of us who are parents here. And looks like every one of us is some type of parent down here. Imagine that someone said that, you know, that my son or my daughter, who is, let's just assume is a three-year-old, has been kidnapped. I hear that story. My son got kidnapped. Immediately, what would happen is my child got kidnapped. What would happen to me immediately? I'd be in total anxiety. Where's my child? What happened to my child? You know? Or let's just put it another way. Let's just say they said my child died. My child had gone visiting with the mother to India. And while in India, something happened, a crash happened, and my wife survived, but my child died. Obviously, I'm going to be in absolute anxiety, right? Total anxiety. I'm totally worried. Do you think at that time I'd be looking for food to eat? Does it look like that might happen? I'll be looking for some nice food. Let's have some nice pizza. You think that's going to happen? No? You know, you think I'm going to be looking, okay, let's now take some nice rest. Let's sleep, take a sleeping pill and have a nice rest because I really need to sleep nicely. Do you think that's going to happen? No, nothing is going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is anxiety, anxiety, and more anxiety. And I'm going to try and see, what can I do? What can I do? You know? And you think that, well, the person is gone. What can I do now? Person is gone. What can I do? I love that person so much. Person is gone. So I'm complete anxiety. Right? Then another call comes half an hour later, or say, let's say 5 hours later, 6 hours later, and says, sorry, we gave you the wrong information. It was another person who had a crash. It wasn't your son who died. Your son's actually fine. Now what happens? Now I'm looking for the pizza. I'm going to actually try and enjoy myself. I'm going to be like in celebration mode, right? I'm going to try and pick up the phone and reach my wife and say, I really love you. And I'll say to the child, I really love you. Because now you realize what it would have meant if you had lost your child. Suddenly you realize, I really need to take care of my family better than I'm doing. Right? But look at the contrast. What was the contrast based on? On information, right? Now in the case of one case, it was false information. And still it caused us so much anxiety. So in the same way, here, the Brahmin is telling us that please, and actually it says that in the previous verse, which is a really very powerful verse spoken earlier, Lord Krishna says in text number 59, he says, no other force apart from one's own mental confusion. No other force apart from one's own mental confusion makes the soul experience happiness and distress. One's perception of friends, neutral parties, and enemies, and the whole material life one builds around this perception are simply created out of ignorance. It's ignorance that's ruling this world. And we are its subjects. So what do you think is going to happen to the subjects of King Ignorance? You know? There's going to be problems, right? And that's why we have our problems in our lives. And now in this text he says, my dear Uddhava, instead, fix your intelligence on me. Fix your intelligence on me. Understand, and when I preach and I reach out to people, I found a simple formula that I speak to people who have no idea of what Krishna consciousness is, or have the wrong idea of Krishna consciousness, because it's one of the two, generally. Either they have no idea what Krishna consciousness is, or they have the wrong idea. The ones who have the right idea, you don't have to say anything to them. You can already see they're doing great. So you don't need to say anything to them except, please bless me so I can also do great. But the other two, you need to preach to. Right? So I say to them simply this much, that imagine that you have a financial problem, right? You have a bill that needs to be paid and you don't have enough money to pay the bill. So depending on how rich you are, the bill might be a different size, right? But let's just say I'm a poor person and suddenly I get a bill from the electric company that says I owe $200 for using electricity last month. And my earnings are so poor that $200 is like, oh my God, how is that going to happen? Where am I going to find $200 to pay the bill? Right? So I'm in total anxiety because I think to myself, well, what will happen is the electric company is now going to come and cut the power because I didn't pay my bill. So it's hot. Summer is hot, right? I need the air conditioner. I need a fan. How am I going to survive in my house in this hot, hot weather? So I'm in total anxiety. And I'm actually, you know, thinking to myself, I don't know what I should do. I have no idea. Maybe suicide is a good solution to this life. Let me just finish my life off. There's nothing in this life worth living for. You know, like that. And I'm in a really morose state. Then someone comes and visits with me. And he meets me. I'm outside the house and I head down dejected. And someone's walking by the road. And then the person says, hey. And I look up. And he says, I know who you are. And I think to myself, who are you? I don't know who you are. How do you know who I am? And he says, you're actually the son of Bill Gates. And Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. He says, what are you doing here in this house? And I think to myself, Bill Gates? Who is Bill Gates? You know? So I've heard of a person like that, rich person, but I don't know him. No, but he's actually a father. I know that for a fact. I'm a very close friend of his. I know him. And he's been looking for you. He lost you when you were a little kid, and he couldn't find you. And now I can see that you are the one. You look exactly like his son, you know. So he asks me some questions, and he realizes, yes, I am actually Bill Gates' son. So then he walks me towards Bill Gates' house. Now tell me, as far as my financial worries are concerned, what am I thinking now? There's no financial problems. What's a $200 bill to Bill Gates? Did you know the guy doesn't even check his bills under $50,000? It's too small a bill to worry about. You know, he has an accountant. At one time he wasn't checking it himself. Then he found out one day somebody had ripped him off $2 million on his credit card in a sequence of less than $50,000. This so happened he had bought a Mercedes Benz, and that went over $50,000. He checked it and he found out I didn't buy that car. So, you know, who bought the car? He did an investigation. Found out he's being ripped off. His credit card was being charged. So he hired an accountant, paid him $500,000 so that he can check his bills under $50,000. That's rich. That's a rich man. So this person is going towards Bill Gates. He's not going to be worried about money, right? He's going to think to himself, money is no longer an issue now. I've got no money problems. I can have as much money as I want, as much food, as much shelter, as much clothing, as much whatever I want, right? I can have a really nice time. I'm going to be so happy. So what does he feel? Suddenly, from being dejected, he starts feeling sensations of happiness. Right? Now, we know that any good parent wants their child to be greater than the parent, right? We have children. We want our children to do greater than us in their lives. So Krishna is the same. He wants us to do better than him. So now please understand, we're also children of Krishna. We're Krishna's children. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham bija pradapitaha. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So I am the father of all living entities. So he's our father. Why are we so worried? We're worried because we don't know him. So the idea is come to know him. That's why he says, fix your intelligence on me. And thus, completely control the mind. Because our intelligence, see what happens is there are three guys in our lives that are the ones that are ruling us. Okay? The mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. The mind is in the mode of goodness. The intelligence is in the mode of passion. And good old false ego is mode of ignorance. So the false ego is telling us, why are you worrying about anything? Don't worry. Be happy. You know? There's a thing in this world, right? Don't worry, be happy. Don't do anything. Just lie down. Relax. You don't have to do anything. Just, you know, be lazy. You know? Just mooch over, live your life mooching. What is the term they use? Mooching others, or mooching over others, or mooching from others, or whatever it is they say, right? So, you know, sponging over others, from others, you know, sponging things for yourself, things like that. Welfare, you know, handouts, this, that, and the other. That's false ego. Mind says, no, I don't think that's going to be too enjoyable. You know, I mean, I want some really enjoyable experience. It's more to goodness, so it's got a higher standard, you know. That standard is not good enough. Mooching others and things like that, not a good enough standard. Let's do something. And, you know, and intelligence, why are you guys worried? I can do anything. He's the passionate guy, right? He's more of passion. I can do anything. Don't worry. You have to work hard, you know. Struggle. Things will work out in life. You see? But when you fix that same intelligence in Krishna, you realize Krishna can do anything. And since Krishna can do anything, all I need to do is just to stay attached to Krishna. If I can be attached to Krishna, just like if I'm attached to Bill Gates, then finances are not an issue. If I'm attached to Krishna, then nothing is an issue. Not only finances, but everything else is not an issue. This is the point that Krishna is making to us. And he says, this is the essence of the science of yoga. That we fix our intelligence on Krishna, and then completely control the mind, because now the mind is not thinking that how am I going to get this, how am I going to get that, because the intelligence is telling the mind, you don't have to worry. Krishna is there. Krishna will take care. Yes, in this life, because of our past karma, some things will happen in our lives that are not going to be very palatable. They're not going to be very enjoyable. They're going to be maybe downright miserable. But that's okay. Just understand, it was something we did in the past. We're getting the reaction. No big deal. Soon this light is going to be over. It's not going to take a long time for this life to be over. Those of us here, I would say the youngest of us is probably about 40 years old. Well, somebody's younger than 40 here, but anyway. But say we've passed 40 years of life, right? The 40 years flashed by like that, right? And every year flashes by faster than the previous years. So another 40 years is going to flash by like that too. And then we're going to be heaving our last breath. This is why it's very important to go to hospital and meet people who are on their deathbed, you know. It's very important to see that. You'll see that that's exactly what our condition is going to be very soon. We're not very far away from it. It's just a matter of time. And people die at any age, right? It's not like we're going to live to 80, ripe old 80, all of us. Or 90, or 100, or whatever else that we're thinking everybody else sometimes lives to. You can go at any time. Death can come at any time, right? So Krishna is saying, right now, just fix your intelligence on me. Understand, I am here. I am here for you. Turn to me. Pray to me. Say to Krishna, I love you, Krishna. I am yours and you are mine. Please, I need you. Without you, I am nothing. Now, who is the most powerful person in creation if you put Krishna aside? Because there's an argument going on between two people. Who is the most powerful person in creation? But who is the most powerful person in creation if you put Krishna aside? Radharani, right? Radharani. I mean, that argument is still going on. There are two parrots that are still discussing this issue. Who is more powerful, Radha or Krishna? And the other one, each one is defeating the other one. So that hasn't finished yet. That conversation is going to be going on for a long time. But Radharani, we have to agree, is at a minimum equal to Krishna in power, right? She's equal to Krishna. And she prays to Krishna, O Krishna, without you, I am nothing. A Dina Dayadanath, she calls him. Dina Dayadanath, meaning of those who have nothing, who can be nothing. What do we think? We can be so many things, right? I can do it. You can do it. We have this thing we do with kids, you know. You can do it. You did it. You're great. We talk like that, right, in this world. I can do it. You can do it. But actually, Radharani is saying, I can't do it. She's saying, I can. We're saying we can. Now, who's in illusion here? So Radharani, who actually can, compared to us, says, without you, I am nothing, Krishna. Please, don't ever leave me. Please, always stay with me. I cannot live without you. And with you, so many wonderful things can be done by me. But without you, well, what can I say? So, this is our situation. It's actually our situation. When Prabhupada came to America, he wrote a very nice poem entitled Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Markine in Sanskrit means America. The word America in Sanskrit is Markine. There's nothing that's left out of our scriptures. Even America is written in our scriptures. Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad means of God. Dharma means the science. The American science of God. Prabhupada writes before stepping his first foot on America, he's written the song of the science of God for America, for Americans. In that, how does he sign at their bottom? Your most insignificant beggar. I mean, a beggar is pretty insignificant anyway, right? But then he adds the words, the most insignificant, before the word beggar. Does that tell, I mean, we may say, well, Prabhupada's just being very humble. You know, that Prabhupada being humble. No, Prabhupada is being real. He felt like that. He genuinely felt, I am the most insignificant beggar. Do we feel like we're the most insignificant beggars? I don't think so. We think we're pretty significant. We're certainly not beggars. And we're quite significant. But this is our problem. We have to first understand our position is, without Krishna, we are nothing. With Krishna, we are everything. So it's all or nothing. You can choose. In the middle, it's like in Hindi they're saying, dhobi ka kutta, ne ghar ke ne ghat ke. You know, you're like that washerman's dog. When you're not at home, when you're at home, the master is with you, you're fine. When you're at the workplace, the master is with you, you're fine. When the master is not with you, what happens to the dogs on the streets? People throw stones and sticks at it. You know, the dog catcher comes and catches the dog, puts him in a pen. All sorts of things go wrong in the dog's life. That's us. Prabhupada said only two people can be happy in this world. The materialist and the devotee. The materialist, he doesn't believe in God. He is like, I'm going to live my life, I'm happy. And you want to really meet some nice materialists? Please visit Las Vegas. You will see some of the best materialists on the planet in Las Vegas, New York, places like that. These guys, they're into it. They're having the time of their life. It's all enjoyment, enjoyment, and more enjoyment. You know, they don't need sleep. They stay up all night enjoying. They stay up all day enjoying. They can sleep in the day. They can enjoy at night. They can do anything they want. They are enjoying. There's no doubt about it. The only unfortunate part is death will come. And after death, the consequences will come. And you know, because the Lord allowed them to enjoy because He says, you know, what is the verse that He used? Chapter 15, text 15. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto mattah smittir jnanam apahonam cha. Right? Krishna says, I am the source of remembrance. So that you can come to me. I am the source of knowledge so that you can actually swim in that knowledge and go so deep that you can get completely lost in that knowledge. And I am the source of forgetfulness also. I am the source. I actually give forgetfulness to people so they can completely enjoy themselves. That's the materialist. And the other one is the devotee. The devotee is smit there. The devotee is remembering Krishna and saying, I embrace you, Krishna, in my heart and I'm always with you no matter what the situation. And then, the final verse of this chapter, chapter 23 says, anyone who listens or recites to others this song of the sannyasi, which presents scientific knowledge of the absolute, absolute is Krishna himself, and who thus meditates upon it with full attention, will never again be overwhelmed by the dualities of material happiness and distress. So what is this full attention? The full attention is, we should apply it in our lives, and then we should train others also. Because if we teach, this is the preacher. The preacher's purpose is to reach out to others and give them the process so that they can also be happy. Why only I should be happy? Everybody should be happy. That's the preacher's attitude. And attitude is everything. There's a program I teach to business people and others. And I tell them it's five things they have to do. The first thing I tell them is attitude. If you don't have the right attitude, I don't want to waste your time, and you please don't waste my time. If you don't have the right attitude, you can never get anywhere in this world. Attitude is absolutely important. And what is attitude? Attitude is your state of consciousness. In scientific language, by the way, it's not written in any dictionary. This definition of attitude is not in any dictionary. I came up with it based on Prabhupada's writings. That attitude is actually a state of consciousness. The higher the consciousness, the greater the attitude. So the idea is to raise the consciousness. As we raise the consciousness, our attitude is going to become better and better and better. And when we raise our consciousness to the level of Krishna consciousness, our attitude is at its best. What is the attitude at that time? The attitude is, Krishna can do anything. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. Let me accept the results of my past actions, good or bad. Let me accept them. But from this point onwards, I will always fix my intelligence on Krishna. And do everything, understanding that it is Krishna who is the one who will make things happen. So as I am doing that service, I will realize it is not me who is due the credit for anything that I am doing. It is actually Krishna who is due the credit. And we say the spiritual master and Krishna, Guru and Krishna, gets the credit. My purpose is simply to be the instrument. This is the attitude. When you have this attitude, Prabhupada says, nothing can be defeated. Nothing can defeat you. You're undefeatable. This is the first instruction Prabhupada received from his own spiritual master. Nothing stops Krishna consciousness. Nothing can stop it. So we want to be unstoppable, right? We feel like, I want to be unstoppable. I should be able to do the things I want to do in my life. I want to be unstoppable. Then it's Krishna consciousness that makes us unstoppable. Like that. That's why Krishna is saying, and in the purport, the disciples say it very nice to Prabhupada's disciples, you know, that he says that having received the Lord's mercy, he enlightened other conditioned souls with transcendent intelligence so that they could also follow in the footsteps of the devotees of the Lord. Religion actually means to become a pure devotee of the Lord, of the Supreme Lord, in loving service. Do it with love in the heart. Simple idea. I love you. Everything you do to Krishna, I love you, Krishna. I'm doing it for your pleasure. Oh, we may or may not be doing it perfectly. That's okay. We may even be doing it very imperfectly. That's okay. Krishna is more interested that we fix the intelligence. Because what will happen is, you fix the intelligence, Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam. I, from inside, will actually enlighten you. And from outside, I will come in the form of the scripture, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. And I will come in the form of the devotee. And then, we will take care of everything. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. So this is the essence of this verse that we read today. And the essence of this chapter, that we should give up frustration is a heavy word, but less than that, our concerns, you know, we should give up a feeling morose, feeling dejected like that, feeling negative like that. Give that up. Understand that whatever I have done in the past, I'm going to get the results. There's nothing I can do about the past. It's gone. The results are going to come. The present is where I can do everything. And the future will be bright. And that future will become the present, because the future only becomes real when it becomes the present. Otherwise, the future is just a future, right? It's not your result. The result is now. Whatever you're getting is the result is now. So for now, let me focus my heart on Krishna. Focus my heart on Guru and Krishna, like that. And stay focused like that. And do anything and everything that I can do to please Guru and Krishna. And then anything and everything we're doing, like there was a devotee who wrote to Prabhupada in a letter, and she said to Prabhupada, I am doing this job, and I know this job is Maya. But, you know, I have no choice. I have a child. I have to look after my child. I don't want to be in Maya. I want to go full-time and stay in a temple. Because at that time, when Prabhupada was here on this planet, everybody lived in the temple. If you lived outside the temple, it means you blooped. If you're a fallen devotee, you're staying outside the temple. If you're a real devotee, you stay inside the temple. So she wrote, I had a job, and I'm really sorry, I'm in Maya. Blooped, right? I'm in Maya, like that. Prabhupada wrote back and said, no, you're not in Maya. If whatever you're doing is for the pleasure of Krishna, you're doing that work for the pleasure of Krishna, so you can look after your child, you can do some service to Krishna, you want to please Krishna, then that work is not Maya, it is Krishna consciousness. That work is Krishna consciousness. So we can see, Krishna is so nice to us, he's so kind. No matter what situation we're in, he's ready to accept us. He's saying, fine. And for those of us who have children, we know that, right? So many times our children misbehave. Do we say to our children when they misbehave, you're no longer my child, forget you, I'm going to have another child, you can go outside and do whatever you like. Do we do that to the child? No. We embrace the child, we love the child, we show so much love to the child, we try to correct the child lovingly, right? So much love we give to the child to correct the child. Do we have much love in our hearts compared to Krishna? Can we compare ourselves to Krishna in terms of how much love we have in our hearts? No. Krishna has much more love than we have. He has an unlimited ocean of love for us, for each and every one of us. He knows we're being naughty or whatever. Normally naughty. He knows that we have a problem. But he loves us. He just wants to hug us and kiss us and say to us, you're fine, you're my baby. I'll take care of things. Don't worry. Why are you worrying? I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You just behave yourself. Just like we say to our children, just behave yourself, right? So he wants us to behave. And what is the behavior? He's saying that clear. Fix your intelligence on me. Control your mind. Stop working to the demands of the mind. I must have this. I must have that. I must have this. I must have that. That's the mind, right? Mind is like the... In goodness, the master is very powerful. In passion, the master is also powerful, not as much as in goodness. The goodness masters are more powerful than the passion masters. And the ignorance masters are the least powerful. So, mind is in goodness, so it's very powerful. In fact, it's described in our scripture. It's so powerful, he's like God. It even says that in the scripture. Mind is so powerful, it's like God. Man, God is real powerful, right? We have to agree. God is omniscient, omnipresent. And it's that type of description is given in scripture about the mind. How are you going to control this guy? Such a powerful person. How are you going to control? Prabhupada Krishna says, the simple way to do it is in your heart, say to me, I love you, and then fix your intelligence in me. Meaning, all your actions, because intelligence makes us do things. Intelligence will make you do things in passion, right? So it'll make you do things. So do things for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever we're doing, do it for Krishna's pleasure. Over a period of time, the mind will come under control, and then we'll realize that everything is fine. All we need to do is always show our love to Krishna, always be with Krishna. Like Prabhupada describes, the meaning of Krishna consciousness is that one always lives with Krishna on that spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan, and that one is simply waiting to give up this material body. This is exact quote. This is exactly how Prabhupada says it. So we realize this is my purpose now. And doing that, if that's the thing that we do, then things work out really very nicely. My cue to say, stop talking. I need to tell myself to stop talking, otherwise I can't stop. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm going to ask if you have any questions, anything you'd like to say. Anybody? We're all fine? Everybody's okay? Yes, Mataji. You're welcome, Mataji. Yes. 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 So, Mother Sadanandini is asking a question that we say that intelligence makes us do things and therefore there's action. So when we use our passion to do things for Krishna's service, then is the action, what are you saying, is the action? Is that devotional service? Because it's in mode of passion, right? So how can it be devotional service? Because devotional service is mode of pure goodness. It is said devotional service is pure goodness mode. And how can passion be like that? So basically, it's the example is given of how when we do drama, right? When we do drama, before the drama, there is dharma practice. Right? There's drama practice. And so the drama practice is actually part of the drama. If you don't do the practice, you're not going to do the drama, right? You have to practice. You have to do what they call the rehearsal. You have to rehearse it, right? So that you know that when you do the drama, everything will be done perfectly because you rehearsed it. You checked it out. You figured it out, you know. I remember one drama that we did from Fiji. In Fiji, at Krishna Kaliya Temple. And so in that drama, I played a certain role. And there was a person who was supposed to play. I played the role of Sudama. And there was a person who played the role of my wife. So one of my godbrothers, very nice godbrother, very, very nice devotee, he was the director. His job was to make sure in the rehearsal everything happened properly so that when the drama would happen, everybody would do their drama properly, would play the role properly. So he asked her to cry, and she said, I can't cry. I can't make myself cry like that. He said, no, you have to cry. He said, no, I can't cry. So how are you going to cry in the drama? Because in the drama, Sudama's wife is crying, right? My children don't have food. You know, they're so hungry, it's okay. I don't mind being hungry, because in Sudama's life, every next day was Ekadasi for his children. So today's next day, he tells his children, Ekadasi, we're going to fast. No food. And he himself and his wife would eat every second, after every second Ekadasi, which means he'd be eating after two Ekadasis go, then he can eat something himself. But his children would eat after. And by the way, every day, second day. So basically the children were eating once in 2 days, and they were eating once in 4 days. That's how poor they were. So you can imagine, the wife is feeling piteous, right? She's in a piteous condition. So she has to cry. She has to tell him, please, you have to do something. Please go and meet Krishna. Krishna can solve our problem. We pray to Krishna every day. We love Krishna so much. Why can't you go and speak to Krishna? And he's saying, no, I'm not going to even ask Krishna for some food. I'm not going to beg Krishna for some food. So she starts crying, you know, for her children. And then he feels like, I have to do something, right? So she has to cry, and she wouldn't cry. So he fired her. Said, sorry, you're not going to be the actress. Got another one to come in and said, you cry. That one cried, so you're going to be the wife. In the drama. You see what I'm saying? But in the rehearsal, the crying is the same as the drama or not the same? What would you say? Is it the same or not the same? It's the same, right? And simultaneously, it's not the same in the sense, it's not the drama. It's not mode of pure goodness. It's mode of passion. But it is pure goodness because it's the same thing you're going to be doing when you are completely pure devotee, right? Because right now we are practicing to become a pure devotee. Agree? We're not yet pure devotees. We are practicing. Now, Prabhupada was very kind and said all devotees in Hare Krishna are pure devotees, because there's two definitions of pure devotee. Definition one is you're a pure devotee because everything is pure about you. And the second definition is if you're following a pure devotee, you're also a pure devotee. Most of us fall in the second category, right? We're not in the first category like that. So, but we have to come to the first category. So the things that you're doing for Krishna's pleasure now, even in the mode of passion, are actually acceptable to Krishna. Krishna accepts them because he knows you're practicing, right? That way you'll become perfect. Practice will make perfect. You'll become perfect one day. You'll be perfected. When you become perfect, it won't be in the mode of passion. It'll be in the mode of pure goodness. It'll rise to goodness and then pure goodness. That's what will happen. When it reaches pure goodness, then you are in pure devotion. And when you're in pure devotion, then none of these things affect us anymore. Now, does that mean that we will not be unhappy when something goes wrong? No, we'll be unhappy. But we won't be so unhappy that it'll stop our Krishna consciousness. The idea is, our control, our emotion should be within a certain bandwidth. When it goes above that bandwidth, means it's too happy. You become delirious. When it goes below the bandwidth, depressed. No, you become depressed. And when you're depressed, you don't do anything, right? A depressed person doesn't want to do anything. They just want to sit down and sulk, or maybe eat something that they like eating, or just fall off to sleep, or something that will allow them to maintain their sanity. But they're not ready to do anything at that time. Any work, don't tell them any work. So we have to keep ourselves within those two bandwidths in our emotions, and the pure goodness person can do that. The one who is not in pure goodness will actually become affected by too much delirium or too much depression. They become affected by that. The other ones become affected too, but not so much that they abandon their service or, you know, not do their service or, you know, reduce their service or whatnot. They don't do things like that. They realize, yeah, it's part of my karma, I'm getting my karma, that's all right, just suck it up and keep moving forward, you know. They have that type of attitude that I will continue doing no matter what, how bad it gets. And we can see in the case of the Avanti Brahmana, it got really bad, right? Really bad. He was insulted. And I can tell you, very few people can take insults. When eating his food, someone passed urine in his food. I mean, who can tolerate that? You know. He got tied up with chains like an animal. I mean, who can accept that, right? Then people came and ripped his clothes off him. You know, and then they'd come and offer it to him like they're giving him a gift. And when he's ready to take it, they'd snatch it away again. Now, who can go through all this type of nonsense? You know, this, and so many bad things like that would happen to him. But he remained fixed in his intelligence, he thought. He didn't like it. Wasn't enjoyable. But didn't stop him from continuing. They even took his, it said, took away his bead bags. His bead bags, his beads, took his beads away. Chanting beads. Took off his kanti mala. Things like that. Descriptions are given like that. You can imagine, if that happened to us, I think most of us would give up our Krishna consciousness and say, this is too much, man. How can this be? I thought Krishna consciousness was meant to be fun. Yeah, it's meant to be fun when you're in pure goodness. It's not meant to be fun when you're in passion. In passion, it's going to be miserable. Because that is the fruit of passion, misery. The fruit of goodness is happiness. The fruit of misery, passion is misery. And the fruit of ignorance is madness. So if we're miserable, it only tells me that I'm in the mode of passion. That's all. So don't expect fun in the mode of passion. So like that. But you know, these are things that we learn. So does that make sense? Yeah. So it's very necessary for us to act and do things in Krishna service. Okay. Any other points? Anybody wants to question? No, thank you very much. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vanchakalpa Tirubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.